commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire...
Celsius Hockey.
Welcome. Wait, what do I usually say here? Yes, it's time once again for another Big Fake Radio Show. Joining me as always is new Larry, Kevin Jank.
Stop it up your pachata, Mike Dell.
That is a quote from the movie we're watching tonight, Force 5 from 1981. And it's pretty obvious that the A-Team just ripped this movie off. Like, when you really look at it, they clearly just ripped them off for a spot. But we'll get into that later. Also joining us is my personal attorney, spiritual advisor, Tuffy.
What I need is a woman who can think and fight and chew gum at the same time.
Who doesn't? And yeah, so this movie will be great. We don't have any guests here tonight, although I did talk to the Ed earlier.
Oh.
He says he will be here next week. Next week.
Okay.
He couldn't be here this week because...
I mean, the doctor was home.
Well, he's attending a very special concert this evening. He was very excited to tell me this.
Taylor Swift?
No, Billy Joel.
Oh.
It's a fat Billy Joel. Billy Joel. And also on the bill is... Fat Benatar. He's very excited. So next
sounds
week.
Sounds like the greatest concert ever.
He will tell us all about the Billy Joel concert. That will be next week. So tune in for that.
Oh my God. I would have skipped to next week already. It's going to be amazing.
Just new things. He's called me up for like 15 minutes just. Come up with stupid fat puns. He also said his favorite TV show is Chunky Brewster. And anyway, so that's what the Ed's up to. And I tried to book Sean Leahy on the show because the NHL playoffs start this weekend.
Yeah. And
it's time
Penguins
for
are gearing up for it, I hear.
No, they're not. Gearing up in the long, hard summer. Oh, brutal. Anyway, let's just pretend the season never happened. But Leahy,
what do you do with this show every week?
I try to. Leahy couldn't be here tonight because Little Drinky McGee has a baseball game. He's watching Little Drinky McGee right now play the baseball. Oh, I guess earlier this evening he was watching that, but too busy to make the show tonight.
Takes a lot to recover after that, yeah.
Yeah. So instead, Jank is just going to play the part of Sean Leahy. And we're going to break down the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Jank will give his thoughts.
It'll be a lot like my WrestleMania preview thoughts. A lot of
Hey, by the way, let's start with the wrestling real quick here. Because your girl, Liv Morgan, you love Liv Morgan. And she just came back from a shoulder surgery. Well, Rhea Ripley, storyline-wise, injured her and knocked her out and took her. So she comes back and she says it's going to be her revenge tour. Sure. And she attacked Rhea Ripley backstage 2 weeks ago. And she actually injured Rhea's shoulder for real. Shoot injury.
Whoa.
Yeah, she like messed up her, what's that joint in the shoulder? Whatever they call that. Shoulder joint. I think there's a term for it.
the ball and socket.
Yeah, so she's going to be out for like 3 months. Like legit. And she had to give, mommy had to give up the title. She had to vacate the women's championship. All because of your girl, Liv Morgan.
Well, I mean, she had a shoulder injury, so I'm guessing she came back like Rookie of the Year, where it was just too tight and she was super strong.
But I guess, like, in the backstage fight, like, she throws Rhea into the wall. And I guess, yeah, she literally, yeah, that's where she hurt her shoulder. She went into the wall and hurt her shoulder. And storyline wise, it works out great because like she took out Liv with the shoulder, now Liv takes out her. That's perfect. But yeah, it's sad to see Mommy give up the belt though. So they're going to have to crown a new champion, I think, on Monday on Raw. So, who do you think that'll be? No, Tuffy is going to be Liv Morgan, right?
I mean, she took her out by rights. It should be hers.
Probably going to be Becky, huh? Put it on Becky.
She still got the strep throat.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's going on over there, Tuffy? It's like love on a leash suddenly.
Why did Tuffy turn into Alvin Flame?
I'm watching. Hold on a second.
Yeah. I thought, for a second, I thought Tuffy was choking on something. The lozenge.
Like Fat Benatar, just eating so much that he choked himself to death.
Ed was so proud of himself for Billy Joel.
That is really good.
A mess.
Hey, Tuffy, what's going on over there?
Tuffy murdered that dog.
No, my cousin, her kid has a softball game out of town. So I'm sitting at her house so I can let the dogs out and not have to, like, drive back and forth because it's, like, 10 minutes away. And every fucking time I'm here, some neighbor kid knocks on the door. Is like, can they come out and play? It's like, nobody's here. It's just a desperate, lonely man. And I don't want to play. So somebody knocked on the door and the dogs went nuts.
Otherwise, they just lay down most of the time.
Ask the kid if he wants to do a fake radio show.
Well, maybe he did something this week.
Do these kids who knock on the door, I'm just a stranger at this house. They don't know who I am. So he knocks on the door. I said, yeah, they're not home. He goes, why aren't they home? It's like,
who the F are you?
It's none of your business why they're not home. And they're certainly not tied up in the freezer downstairs in the basement. So don't even ask. All right.
So yeah, hopefully no more disturbances.
What kind of dogs are those, Tuffy?
One of them, I believe, is a cockapoo, which is like a cocker spaniel.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
That one's
that's like something the Ed would come up with.
The other one is some like tiny ass poodle chihuahua mix or something that is the dumbest dog I've ever seen. It does like it is afraid to leave its own cage when I'm here.
Yeah.
The times it does leave its cage, like it just sits there and doesn't do anything.
Hey,
I take
like
it outside to go to the bathroom, it doesn't do anything.
Hey, I did leave my cage
like,
today.
I go outside to smoke a cigarette. I come back inside and, like, the dog's pissed on the carpet in here when it won't go to the bathroom when I take it outside.
Just like me. But yeah, I did leave my
cover story. I think it was you. You probably had some more of those sausages in Michigan, and there was another accident.
I shot hockey today for the first time all week. And then I got my Chinese food. And the order was correct. I didn't screw up the order.
Oh, so, wow. Was it felt bad about almost murdering your cat.
It's 2 for 2, today. But, all right. So anything else going on before we, get into the big show? Well, I guess we should preview the Stanley Cup playoffs, like for real. I mean, this is a hockey show.
Do we have to?
Yeah. I mean, should, look at that real quick. I don't even know what the matchups are.
I see, the Rangers are playing the Capitals.
The Capitals they're a terrible hockey team, so the Rangers are going to beat them real quick. That will not be hard.
The Hurricanes are playing the Islanders.
Islanders are only a slightly better terrible team than the Capitals, so Carolina will run through them in 4 or 5 games at the most. Yeah.
The Panthers play the Lightning in an all-Florida matchup.
This is going to be a beauty because I would have picked Tampa Bay against most teams in the first round because I think they have upset potential here. But against Florida, I don't know. So this is probably going to be the marquee matchup in the first round. I'll go Florida, although I think Tampa Bay could pull off the upset. So go Florida.
And then Boston plays Toronto to finish off the East.
Yeah, this is tough because, like I've said before on the show, Boston's just a painfully average team. But Toronto is man, they're Toronto. They always lose. And I don't think they've beaten Boston in the playoffs since like 1940-something. Sound about right. So they could probably just put the laundry on the ice and beat Toronto. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm rooting for Toronto just because it's always more entertaining when they do something. But it's also hilarious when they lose. So you can't go wrong here. But
yeah.
Boston's got the better goaltending, probably like a good, solid team. But Toronto's got the top-end talent. Auston Matthews, 69 goals, led the league. So let's go for Auston Matthews. Let's root for him.
All right. So who's your pick of those eight to come out of the Eastern Division?
Probably Carolina. It'll be Carolina or the Rangers, whoever gets out of that. But I'll say Carolina. Yeah. All right.
But I can't remember if they reseed in the NHL or if you just play the ladder.
Their playoffs are a train wreck. But, yeah, Carolina will have to play the Rangers in the second round.
Okay.
Because the league's stupid. But, all right. So, now in the West.
And then out West, the Dallas Stars against the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, this is a tough one because Dallas is a really good team and Las Vegas finished eighth, but they're the defending cup champs. And they always do that thing where they have guys who are pretend to be injured and then they bring them back so they can circumvent the salary cap. So they haven't been looking that great, but now they're going to get Mark Stone and Thomas Hurdle and all their guys back. So, it's going to be a tough series. I don't know. It's a coin flip. I'll go Dallas. I'll make it fun.
All right.
Good Dallas.
And now looking at these matchups, it looks like the West is the best chance to have a Canadian team finally win the Stanley Cup again.
Yeah, several months ago I twittered out that I think this is the year a Canadian team wins.
And the next up is
the
Edmonton Oilers against the LA Kings.
Yeah, the Kings are a really boring team. They try to play choke them out defensively, you know. But the Oilers, McDavid and Draisaitl, this is it. Like, you're 27 now, like you've been in the league a long time. This is usually when guys hit when they win their cups. So it's time. You got to go. You got to do it, Connor. You got to do it. So yeah, they
beat the Kings. Follow the lead of your national hero, Jonathan Toews, and go win that Stanley Cup. next up is the Vancouver Canucks against the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, the Ed was big on the Predators when we talked earlier. He's picking them, but the Canucks will beat the Predators.
And then the Winnipeg Jets against the Colorado Avalanche.
This will also be a great series. A couple weeks ago, I thought Colorado was going to be I like the way their team is constructed, but their goaltending is bad. And Winnipeg has the best goaltending in the league, Hellebuck. And Winnipeg's a really sneaky good team. No one talks about them because they're in Winnipeg. But they're very good. So I actually think Winnipeg is going to defeat Colorado in round one.
Who's coming out of the West then?
Yeah, so if everything goes according to plan, we'll have three Canadian teams in the second round in the West.
Yeah.
I really want to just ride that Winnipeg train all the way to the final. But I don't think that's going to happen. McDavid has to do it. I picked Edmonton at the start of the year, just because of McDavid. Like, when great players get to this age, they usually win cups by now. So, but man, their team's not that good. But Edmonton, yeah, it's really tough. We'll go Edmonton and Connor McDavid just to run it. So Carolina and Edmonton, and McDavid gets his cup. Well, that's what we'll say. So we'll say happens.
Yeah,
just the way this stuff usually goes, you know.
When was the last time the Penguins missed the playoffs?
Oh, that was last year.
Oh, okay. they
missed 2 years in a row.
Was it round one right before that?
Yeah, they haven't gotten out of the second or out of the first round since 2018. And it's for some reason, they still love this fucking coach. Yeah, we got to keep bringing Mike Sullivan back because
doing a bang up job.
Yeah, 2 years in a row with that. And these are the only 2 years of his career Sidney Crosby has played all 82 games when he's 35 and 36 years old. He played every game, and he's still dynamite. He's still awesome. And they can't win. So fuck it all. I hate everything. But anyway. So, all right. There's your Stanley Cup preview. Jank, any thoughts? I guess not. But it really is kind of tough to pick. I think your cup winner will either be like Carolina, the Rangers, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Florida. Maybe those five teams would probably be a cup winner out of those. But I'll go Edmonton and Carolina in the final. All right. Yeah. So what else is there to talk about here at the top of the show? Jank?
The top of the show? No. We'll save the gold for later.
All right, yeah, save that. Fucking hell. A weird out Yankovic top 11 incoming.
I may have another top 11.
All right, well, let's talk Force 5. Force 5.
Force 5, even though there were six of them.
Yes, that was the thing we needed to put on immediately. The movie's called Force 5, but there are six people featured.
Yeah.
Strange. Very strange.
As an accountant, that bothered me.
As just someone who can do math, it bothered me. All right, here's the description on IMDb. A martial arts expert leads a team of fellow martial artists to rescue a senator's daughter from an island ruled by the evil leader of a fanatical religious cult. There's a lot of prepositions in that sentence. But yeah, so it's basically
one of those rare karate Christian cults. Who knew?
There's a lot of cool stuff in this movie. It, when you're watching it, though, it doesn't so much feel like a movie, like an 80s TV show, is how I've kind of felt watching.
Yeah. Not very cinematic, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, clearly, the A-Team ripped them off. And also, Quentin Tarantino ripped it off, too, in Pulp Fiction.
Fox Force 5?
That's right. Remember Fox Force 5.
Yeah.
There were five of them. And they were foxy. There are six of them.
Nobody told like a joke in this one, though. That was going to be her big gimmick.
And in this one, there's six of them, and only one of them's foxy. And she, oddly enough, is the one who really can't karate kick at all.
Like, oh, my God. She has clearly never kicked anything in her life, not even like a soccer ball. She's just like, what do? Extend my leg? Like, slowly? I don't know.
This whole team is like martial arts experts, like legit martial arts experts. Like, the main guy, his name is Joe Lewis, the actor, and that's L-E-W-I-S, not like the boxer Joe Lewis. But he trained with Bruce Lee back in the day. He was the heavyweight karate champion in 1979 or something. And he had matches with Chuck Norris. Like, he's as legit gets. And everyone else in this cast is, like, super good at martial arts, except for the lady they get to be part of the team.
Yep. She's just eye candy.
She's clearly just an actress pretending to be a martial artist. Like, they couldn't find one lady martial artist in the whole world.
Not in the 80s. It wasn't allowed.
Yeah, like, they're getting in these fights. Like, even the Charlie's Angels look better fighting than she does.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know if it was like the khakis she was wearing too, but man, she they had no give. Like, she was not able to lift that leg at all.
Her kicks would maybe reach the thigh area of somebody. But, what can you do? All right. Is there anyone else famous in this movie? I don't really think so. No one anyone would know. There's a guy named Tom Villard. He plays one of the disciples of the religious cult, the guy with the black curly hair. He was in a lot of TV shows in like the 80s and stuff, with like bit parts and everything. But I don't think there's anyone else I recognized in this whole thing. But yeah, the Force 5 team, Joe Lewis is the leader. He plays a guy named Jim Martin. Then there's a guy named Lockjaw, played by Sonny Barnes. And he's a big black guy, like Mr. T.
Yeah. Well, this guy had no problem flying, though, so clearly A-Team was original.
Then we have, who else? Oh, Benny Urquidez plays Billy Ortega.
Yeah, this guy, his like brow was so pronounced, they looked like the Geico cavemen a little bit.
Frozen caveman karate expert.
Yeah.
Billy Ortega. Then, I don't know, there's a guy from like Australia or something. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm looking through the pictures.
Yeah.
Was he Carl? Was that the name? Or I don't know. It doesn't look like
Carl was the big henchman for the cult.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. That sounds right. So who's the blonde guy? Becker, maybe?
Could be.
Yeah, I'm looking through the names of these guys.
Yeah.
Ezekiel?
No, that's Richard Norton. I know that guy kind of. Willard is the helicopter pilot. Yeah, because they have a helicopter pilot who they have to bust out of an insane asylum, just like Howling Mad Murdock, you know?
Because only one guy in the world can fly a helicopter.
So they have to bring
him
out of
jail.
When you're
working on a mission for the Army, they clearly don't have other helicopter pilots that you
can
borrow.
But like his jail cell is very much like Alf in Project Alf. Like, he has a whole suite set up in the jail, like a TV. Everything's like he's banging the warden's daughter. He's got quite the setup in the prison. But,
yeah, just like Alf, like he didn't want to leave. Like,
yeah, he's like, no, I'm kidding.
Out, he's like, no.
So, but yeah, they got their Mr. T, they got their H.M. Murdock. I guess maybe the leader guy, he's a mix of Face and Papard. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. There wasn't like clear roles here. It's not like one guy was the undercover guy, this guy's the demolitions guy. It's just they all kick and punch people. That's it.
Well, and then, the and only clear role was guy. One guy was the pilot. That's the only role
you
could find.
Well, Lockjaw was the bigger, stronger of the team, like the big guy of the team, like the colossus of the team. But
Yeah, even though he's built like kind of a tank, he's also very good at riding like a tiny motorcycle, which is also a weird choice.
Yeah. Yes, they had him in a motorcycle chase when we get introduced to him. Who else is on the team? There's we mentioned the Australian guy who we don't know.
The Australian guy, by the way, like every time he kicked, there was like a whip crack. Like,
he had a hell of a snap to his kicks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the lady, I think, what was her name? Lori?
I guess the Australian guy, the one with the throwing stars.
Yeah, he did throw one, and then he threw like a
Saw blade at some point.
Yeah, saw blade. He says, thank God for Black and Decker. Yeah, there are some ninja stars involved in this movie, so that's always good.
Yeah.
There's another star in this film. The bull that used to appear in Schlitz malt liquor commercials is in this movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Spuds McKenzie of his day, really.
He's very good. But... yeah, there's a lot of cool things in this movie. Like the bad guy of this religious cult, he's this little fella, and he's like a karate expert too. But the way he kills people is he has this underground dungeon where he tells them, oh, yeah, you're free to leave. And they go in, and he locks the door behind them. And it's like this maze. And in the maze, there's just this bull that they turn loose. And this bull just lets people down and murders.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, what did this bull have against these people? Like,
I know. What did you, like,
just running around and they have people having to get trampled? This bull was actually seeking these people out just to murder them.
Because we don't know it's a bull at first. Like, the way they shoot it the first time, it's like you just see, like, the cameras, the perspective of whatever it is hunting these people. And, like, I assumed it was, like, a tiger or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like a big cat.
Somebody eat them. Yeah.
But no, it's a bull.
Just wanted to gore them.
Yeah. I mean, I think I can take my chances with a bull in a maze. I mean, just keep walking around beside him and stuff. Just stay out of the way of his horns and you're all good.
No, he'll corner you. Even just back you against the wall and then be like, bam.
So
owed that bull money, apparently.
Well, they didn't pay for their Schlitz malt liquor. And he was pissed. So, all right.
Is it the same bull from that Columbo episode with Ricardo Montalban?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think. But, all right. So, I don't know what's there to really talk about this movie. Just, there are a couple cool deaths in it, right? I mean.
I mean, the bull. The bull was memorable.
Yeah, the bull death. All right, let's just go through the movie because I guess there's enough here.
Yeah.
We'll go through
I don't know the plot of this movie. I couldn't explain who half the people who died were or what was going on. But
basically, like the first thing we see is It doesn't it open at that religious cult place?
Yeah, it opens at the mm-hmm. the cult, and there's somebody with a gun trying to kill the Reverend while he's leading the worship service, but the Carl is fighting them off.
Yeah, Carl's this big, jacked, blonde-haired dude. He's built like a weightlifter, but he wears like a karate gi. Yeah. And he's the personal bodyguard of the Reverend. And he beats the fuck out of that guy who had the gun. And so they capture the would-be assassin. And they take him down into the basement. They're torturing him. They put all these needles in his body. And he's like, yeah, they don't cause you any pain. But here, look at this. If I touch the needle like this, and he's in excruciating pain.
And, yeah.
And they're trying to figure out who sent him to try and kill the Reverend, you know? And he gives up a name. I don't even remember who it was or what the connection was, but he says somebody.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, then they let him out into the maze then.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're free to go. Well, first the little Reverend guy, karate kicks him in the face, spinning around house to the face. Because he was only going to get $10,000 to kill the Reverend. He's like, that's an insult. And he kicks him in the face. You know, you should be getting paid a lot more to kill me. And then he says, all right, you can go out the door. Just go out that door right there. Yep, that one right there. That's the door. You have to go out that door. So he goes out the door. They lock it. And then the bull fucking runs him down.
Yeah, we don't see it at this point.
Yeah, you don't see the bull.
Yeah.
We do see, like, a girl, like, dead in the ground in the maze.
Yeah.
So, again, I thought, oh, that was probably a tiger. But no, it was a bull. That's a bull.
Yep.
All right, so now we cut to the Joe Lewis guy. He's walking through the woods with some dude in a suit.
Yeah.
And all his little karate pals try and like ambush him. It's like a training session.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Some of them like throw a net on the business guy, and then they jump out of the tree. And they're trying to get him. Joe Lewis ain't scared. He just takes them all down.
He fucking fought Chuck Norris. He's not scared. And he's also not scared to kick the same guy like 20 times in his fights.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times in these fights, like in movies, like one kick and a guy's KO. Not Joe Lewis. He peppers them with kicks.
There's very weak kicks. So, yeah, he's got to just gradually grind them down. Like erosion. That should be his nickname.
So... they eventually, the guy in the suit takes Joe Lewis, they go to the house or whatever, and they're meeting with somebody, and this guy tells them that, a senator's daughter is in a religious cult, and he wants to hire him to go rescue the daughter. It's basically it, right? So he's got
a... Is the senator the guy who was missing his legs, or was that somebody else?
I think that was him, yeah. They were in the van, and he was, like, in a wheelchair, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't missing his legs. His legs got crushed because didn't he say he tried to get her off?
Yeah.
It may have been by that big blonde guy. I don't know, but I think he tried to get his daughter back, and when he went to the island, they broke his legs and sent him home. I think is what happened.
Okay.
Or was he the senator though, or was he the senator's aide?
Yeah,
because then there was a senator like at the end of the movie then who went to the island.
Yeah,
with
but
him.
That's a different senator.
It's a different senator because he didn't seem as concerned about the daughter. So clearly that was not his daughter.
Okay.
Yeah. That guy was just looking to get a few drinks in him.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I wasn't paying. I was reading up on the movie at the time, so I really wasn't paying too much attention. But yeah. So all right, they got to go rescue this guy's daughter. So now we get to introduce to all the team members, like one by one.
Yeah. We see them. Yeah. Like, how many men do you need? He's just like, I need five. And then we start seeing them.
Six in parentheses.
Counting me. Then it's six.
Yeah.
I should probably specify that for payroll purposes, how many people you're going to have to pay for this job.
So the first one, I think, is Billy Ortega, right?
Yeah.
I think he's walking down the street.
Yeah, he gets a telegram.
And some, like, tough guys, some goons stop him on the street, and they don't want him. I guess they're, like, crime bosses or something. They're like, hey, our boss doesn't want you messing around with his daughter anymore. And he's like, hey, I don't mess around with her. She messes around with me. Something like that, you know? And they get in a big fight. And it's Billy Ortega. Not one headbutt, but he can kick and punch. He was beating
that. If he throws that head around, he might just, you know, hit the ground and never get back up again. It might just keep going through the earth.
Then is Lockjaw next, the big guy on the motorcycle?
Yeah, Lockjaw's next.
Yeah. Yeah. And so again, it's like he fought, the first guy fought like six people. The next one, oh, he's getting chased by like six people.
Yeah.
But by the time he gets to the third guy, it's like, oh, there's six people standing around. Wonder what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, Lockjaw's an enormous human, and he's on this like kind of a small motorcycle, like a circus bear riding a little bicycle or something. Mm-hmm. And they're chasing him through pipes and all over the place. And eventually he like falls off the bike and then just fights everybody and just beats them all up. And
yeah.
That's all that. Third.
And the Australian guys hustling people at pool.
Yes. And the guys are mad. They're like, hey, you hustled us, so we're not paying you. And he's like, all right, what was his line here? He says something like, you know, sometimes I
win. The money always changes hands.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if I win, I laugh. If I lose, I cry. But at the end of it, money always changes hands.
Yeah. So he gets in a big fight with him. And, yeah, one guy pulls out a gun from a locker and he throws a ninja star and like stabs the guy in the hand, I think. If I'm remembering properly.
There's like a fat guy just smoking a cigar the whole time looking at him.
Yeah, that guy looked familiar too. I think he's been in a lot of TV shows. I think it may be an episode of Taxi. I'll have to look that up. But anyway, so when he's beating all these people up, and again, he's really snapping those kicks. He's doing a hell of a job. I liked one guy picked up a pool cue, and he just picks up the billiard rack, the little triangle thing.
Yeah,
and he like disarmed the guy with that, and was beating him up. But when he's done beating everybody up, someone swiped his money. And he's like, he took my money. And he starts flipping out. He throws over some lockers, breaks a chair over the lockers. And then he just like looks at that guy smoking the cigar and the guy still hasn't said anything. And he just starts laughing. He's like, oh, well. And then he just leaves, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So never even got his fucking money. Yeah. Now next is the lady, Julie. Now we see her, right? Is that's who's next, correct?
This is a Neil Green situation going on here, yeah.
So we see Julie come in. She's like wearing a dress. She walks in her posh apartment or house or whatever, and she's walking up the stairs. She just takes her dress off. She's just in her underpants and bra. Then she disappears, and then she comes out wearing just like this frilly nighty thing. Looks like no bra underneath. And there's just a guy. I mean, this guy walks into her house.
There's also a toucan in a cage.
Dressed in a tuxedo.
Yeah, there is a toucan in a cage. That is right, Tuffy. Because she likes Fruit Loops, so she keeps a toucan by.
Follow your nose.
But like Jack says,
and then a blindfolded man in a tuxedo shows up.
This is mind blowing to me because this whole entire scene, she's acting like she doesn't know who he is because he's wearing the blindfold.
You can see his face. And then he's like, oh, how did you know it was me?
Yes. I'm like, wait. Tell me, she wasn't wearing the blindfold. You were wearing the blindfold. I didn't understand a goddamn second of this.
No. I think she tries to be like, oh, yeah, your hair is a little bit different, but like, really, how different could it be?
I think I can recognize, like, all the ladies I've slept with walk through with just a blindfold around their eyes. I think I can recognize them, but not this guy. She has no idea who he is. I don't
know. Well, apparently she did know all along, but he, for some reason, thought that she wouldn't, even though it was that obvious.
He's a master of disguise.
Yeah.
They haven't seen each other. Although it was kind of cool because it reminded me a little bit of Daredevil. Like when he just put the thing over his
eye. Yeah. If only Daredevil wore a full tuxedo while fighting Crown.
Yeah, so they get in a little fight, you know, and she beats him or whatever. But it's a playful fight. And they're former lovers, and they haven't seen each other. And, you know, when you want to have a Force 5 team put together, you want a hot lady who can't fight. You want her in there.
That's the linchpin of the team right there.
So he brings her back. So, all right, now they get the whole team, but they need a helicopter pilot. And so they got to go to that prison and break out H.M. Murdoch. And
well, first, like, the bad guys, they go find the guy in the wheelchair in his van. Like, in some parking garage. And they, like, kill his bodyguard, and then they drag him out, and they, like, draw and quarter him with a car, basically. Like, they tie one of his legs to, like, what you call it, the column in the underground parking garage, tie the other end to the car, and then just start driving.
Yes. That's a pretty good death scene.
Yeah. They didn't show a whole lot, but yeah, you got the point.
See the car pulling out, like, you know, laying rubber, and then him screaming, but you don't see it. But yeah. So yeah. It's pretty great, though. That's a hell of a way to just murder a senator, though. If that guy was a senator.
Yeah.
These guys don't fuck around.
So now they got to go to this prison and to break out H.M. Murdoch. And yeah, we've already kind of talked about that. But there's a lot of fights. They're beating the hell out of all the prison guards.
Yeah, they like let all the prisoners out at one point, and then they start beating up all the guards.
And they kind of get cornered, so they pretend to kidnap the warden's daughter, who Murdoch guy is sleeping with.
Yeah.
And they parade her out by machete. And she's like, oh, don't worry, Daddy, I'll be back soon.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, if you're the warden, why would you be like, I'm going to give this guy who's apparently banging my daughter like a presidential suite in the prison? I would be like, I'm going to put a stop to this. Right now, you are not banging my daughter.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't know he was banging the daughter, but.
I don't know.
We never see her again, though, right? Like, she just.
No?
Yeah. I guess they just dropped her off outside the prison and said, all right, we're out. All right. So they got the whole team together. And now. Yeah, they get some other white-haired senator guy to go to the island with them.
Yeah.
Like, they're going undercover.
They need a cover, yeah.
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 Like Joe Lewis and Lori, the lady, they're and the Australian guy, they're kind of like the senator's, I don't know.
Yeah, his assistants or whatever, I guess.
And Lockjaw.
And there's other, you know, the three other guys in the plane besides the pilot, and they're just like, oh, yeah, or the helicopter, and they're just like, oh, yeah, we didn't have places for you guys, so you guys can leave. Like, why did they even come then? What's the cover story? Why we had to load all these people into a helicopter that weren't going to be there?
Then they do a little bit where they pretend to have an electrical fire on the helicopter, so they have to come back and land, so they have to stay.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, all right, I guess you got to stay.
One other quick thing to go back to the prison breakout. There is a good scene where they're using the fire hose as a weapon that I enjoy.
Yeah, the Australian guy was beating the hell out of people with that fire hose, like just whipping them in the face with it and stuff. And then he just like wraps it around a guy's throat and like pulls real tight, like for 1 second, like maybe 1 second, and that guy's just done.
Yeah, I don't think that would do much, but. Yeah,
it's like a demonstration of how to. He's like, oh, I could do this. Okay, next, and then the guy's unconscious.
He should have wrapped it around his neck, then turned it on, and it like pops his head off.
Yeah.
So yeah, all right. So now they're on the island. They go to find the senator's daughter. She's this blonde girl, and there's also Joe Lewis. He recognizes a reporter. On the island as well. From the New York Post or something. But he's undercover. The reporter's undercover as well.
Yeah.
That comes into play later. Because that's when we see the bull again, I believe. Right?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
So, I don't know. Is there anything?
That's also when we see the only boobs, I think, in the movie was there's two topless ladies hanging out in a tent.
Yeah. It's quality, though. It's quality.
Yeah.
Like there's someone sneaking around the compound. They just, for whatever reason, they flashed inside like a tent, and there's these two blonde girls topless, changing, getting ready for bed.
And it's like, oh, did you hear something? Not really.
I know. There's like no reason for that scene to be there. Just some boobs. They're like, oh, all right, cool. Is anything else really important happen besides like they capture that reporter guy, they feed him to the bull, and then.
The people disappear from the cult, and the cult leader tells that they either get to go into the palace that nobody's allowed to go into, or they go off on missionary work because the girl they're there to rescue, she's like the undercover reporter's kind of got a thing with her going on, and she eventually finds his dead body, so then she's actually wants to escape with them.
Yeah.
I guess their big scheme is they get these rich kids in there and then they have them sign away their trust funds to them. But then why go through the trouble of murdering them? They're willingly giving you all their money. Just let them stay.
But I think they only murder them if they try to leave, because then the fear would be they would try and take their money back, probably.
Yeah, I mean, once you sign it over, though, can you get that back?
Yes, and the rich people have enough good lawyers to get it back from the karate cult.
And keep in mind, this is a 1981 law standards. It was a wild time back then.
Anyhow. Plus, you got a bull who likes to run through hallways and kill people. You got to entertain it somehow.
Otherwise, you turn on you.
So whenever they hear that someone's going to the palace, they think it's a big honor, but really they're just getting, you know, trampled by a bull. So that's all that's happening.
Yeah.
All right, so then that's just like the big rescue scene at the end then, right? I mean, that's really the whole movie.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just, what are the highlights here of the big rescue? Lori doing karate kicks in people's thighs.
Yeah. That was the highlight.
And, like we mentioned, the Australian guy. Lori scores up with a guy to fight. They're in some workshop or something. And the Australian guy grabs a saw blade, like a circular saw blade, and just whips it like a ninja star into the guy's belly and kills him. And that's when he says, "Thank God for Black and Decker." And that was a good scene. Oh, Lockjaw fights the big blonde-haired guy. They have a big brawl.
Yeah.
I know. And do you remember how he kills him?
No, like I should, but
he just grabs his head, smashes it against the wall, and, like, just blood gets bursting out of the back of his head. But it was quite the fight. At one point, Lockjaw sweeps a cardboard box off a table at the guy, and so it's a pretty deadly fight. And then the blonde guy, remember, he grabbed the water cooler jug and just runs it at Lockjaw, and it shatters on the wall. That was pretty good. But all right, so that's that highlight. But it really is just like, at one point Joe Louis.
Yeah, he gets fed.
This may have been back in the prison, though. Remember when Joe Louis, like, there's an elevator and two guys are in an elevator, the door opens and Joe Louis, like, gets in the elevator and just, like, karate kicks both of them like 12 times each in slow motion. Remember
that?
Yeah.
I do remember that, because I thought the slow motion is not really doing you any favors to the stage fighting.
Yeah, because you're seeing the guys, like, turn their heads before the kicks are anywhere near them, and they're, like, moving in slow motion, falling down and everything. But again, he had to kick each guy, like, three or four times. He couldn't just kick them once. They had to keep getting up, bumping for him, getting up, bumping. So, yeah. And then there was a scene where, I think this was also back in the prison, where Billy Ortega was, like, around the corner, and there's a guy with a gun. He would run around the corner, Billy would kick him in the face, and the guy would go back around the corner. And then he'd come around again until he'd kick him again. And then, like, the third time, Billy climbed up into the ceiling and the guy didn't see him. So when he popped around, he shot his own buddies. And then Billy dropped out of the sky and knocked him down. So that was something. But, I guess the final big scene, Jank, is Joe Louis. He gets locked in the maze with the bull. And why don't you explain how the bull meets his end?
So he's kind of getting chased around for a little bit, and then, you know, Joe Louis has a big bright idea here. There's a, for some reason, they left a bunch of barrels full of oil in here as well.
Yeah,
apparently.
That was also an issue with the prison. Remember, like, they just a bunch of dirty mattresses and gasoline in the hallways of the prison, and they made a big fire to keep the guards from chasing.
Probably shouldn't leave those lying around everywhere. It's like the movie, or like the game Doom, where you just shoot barrels and they blow up. But it was lying everywhere. But yeah, he spills one of those over, so it's leaking gas everywhere. And then as the bull comes charging at him, he throws a ninja star at the light bulb right above there, and it sparks, and that ignites the gas, and bam, the bull goes up in a fiery explosion.
Yeah, the bull just blows up. Ninja star to light bulb, sparks, boom. It was amazing. I think that has to be nominated for best death. Yeah, that has to be. That was Schlitz malt liquor bull dying from ninja star.
That's pretty good.
So So he kills the bull, but then the Reverend walks in. He said, "Hey, you killed my bull." And they have a big fight. So now it's the Reverend versus him in a one-on-one fight. And this Reverend is beating the hell out of Joe Lewis.
He's got a pickaxe. And Joe Lewis just has like a little tray, like a
wooden box.
Yeah. Like a picnic basket, like a very thin picnic basket.
But at one point, the Reverend with the pickaxe, he misses and it gets stuck in the wall. And then they keep fighting. And eventually Joe Lewis does a running kick to the chest of the Reverend and knocks him backward into the pickaxe. And kills him on the pickaxe. That's how the Reverend dies. And then we just cut to a scene of like that senator trying to recruit the young kids to be voters, I guess. But they just load everybody else into the helicopter and they take off and the movie ends. That's all. There it is. Four spots. You know, something.
Yep. Yeah, I guess it was.
a lot of punching and kicking. A lot of fights.
Yeah. The fights weren't that memorable. I think that was the problem. Like, the bull death was way more memorable than any of the actual fight scenes.
I don't know. I thought the fight scene in the pool hall was good. Yeah, with the
Australian guy. It wasn't nearly as goofy as Revenge of the Ninja last week.
Yeah. Well, Revenge of the Ninja. He had a little 6-year-old like a grown lady. That was amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to top.
But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I mean, there's nothing, not much plot here, not much character development at all.
Not a lot of good lines.
It's just punching and kicking.
And like I said, not only did they not really have like jobs, like this guy's the demolition guy, they also didn't really have very distinct personalities. It's more just like they all like fighting.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Here's 5 karate guys and 1 lady who maybe can kick.
Yeah. I still enjoyed it for what it was. The bull stuff was great. What else was good? I don't know. I'm still giving it like a 6. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've got to go like a 5.
I think that's a fair.
So, 5 or 6. All right, there you go. 4 spot. Well, that's fitting. Cenk is at a 5.
Yep, there you go.
There were 6 members of 4 spot.
Yeah, I'm using their math.
All right. This was on Tubi, right? Did we watch this on Tubi?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right, Cenk, are you up next week? Or?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Any ideas?
Well, I mean, I got 2. Is Gremlins 2 too good?
I know.
I can't believe it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Gremlins 2.
I don't know if I've ever seen it. I love Gremlins. No. That's how Gremlins.
I don't know that I've ever seen any of the actual Gremlins movies rather than clips of the Gremlins movies, but I can't imagine Gremlins 2 is that good.
Yeah, I saw the first Gremlins in the theaters when I was a kid. Like, that came out in 84, too, right? Like, 84 was a banner year for movies. Was that 84?
Sure it was. It was 84, yeah.
Temple of Doom, like Ghostbusters and that, right? I think all at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Purple Rain.
But I don't think I ever saw Gremlins 2, though.
Gremlins 2 is great. It takes it in, like, a very goofy direction, but I love it. It's so good.
Maybe when I start watching it, I'll remember, but I really have no recollection of it. So.
I would recommend watching the first one, Tuffy, before we do number 2, but...
I mean, I'm familiar enough with the plot of it. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I had a little stuffed Mogwai.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He was a good guy, that little Mogwai. All right, so what's that? Do you know what? Is it on Tubi or something? Or
yeah, I think it's on Tubi. I think it's expiring in like 14 days, so we'll just make
it. Ooh.
Do you want to reveal the other contender?
I'll probably save it for later.
All right. Fair enough. All right, so Gremlins 2 next week, and we'll also hear about Ellie Joel.
And Fat Benatar.
right. So what else is there to discuss? We previewed the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I watched a movie.
Oh, tell me you watched a movie. This will be good.
Yeah, because Monday night I was waiting to watch Raw and Fighting With My Family was on USA.
Oh, you've never seen
it? No, I hadn't seen it. So I saw it was streaming on Peacock, maybe? So yeah, I watched Fighting With My Family, the paid story.
Yeah, yeah. Story of, Jank, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, Florence Pugh.
That guy was going all the time, yeah.
Plays Paige. Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a fun little movie.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's not exactly historically accurate.
Yeah.
But, I skipped the whole porn section, but.
Well, that was after, I think, after this.
But just like her, the way she got called up and everything, that was all kind of, you know, different. But,
right.
And ignoring that she had been like the NXT champion as opposed to was ready to quit wrestling. And next thing you know, she's the, called up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to over dramatize everything.
Yeah.
But, it was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Also written and directed by Stephen Merchant, so that always helps.
Oh.
One of the Office guys.
That's right.
How about that?
He plays her brother's wife's dad in the movie.
I probably would have liked it better if it was written by Carl Pilkington, or whatever that guy's name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Fighting With My Family. Yeah, I turned over. I saw the credits were rolling for it 1 hour before Raw.
Yeah.
And then Mommy came out and had to give up her title because of that damn Liv Morgan.
Well, it's hard to stay mad at Liv, but, you know.
I don't know. I'll be mad at her. Like Mommy.
So, what are you going to do?
Poor Mommy. All right. Jack, have you watched any movies this week?
You know, I started watching a movie, but I haven't finished it yet.
And it must be
good. Yeah, it actually was good, but I need to finish that. It's called Dream Scenario. It's on HBO Max or just Max, whatever they call it now. Got Nicolas Cage. It's a pretty interesting premise. It's kind of like a more independent type movie, where he's kind of like just like a middle-aged, bald, like kind of balding professor guy. And, you know, he's very unremarkable, but for some reason, people like all across the world start having dreams about him.
Oh.
Like it starts with like one of his exes and she like bumps into him one day and is like, hey, like I've been having these weird dreams about you. I was going to write an article about it. And so she does. And like a bunch of people then start realizing, hey, I've had dreams about that same guy. Like
that's a pretty good premise. I like that.
Yeah. So it's interesting. He kind of becomes famous a little bit from this and weird stuff starts happening. And it goes in some cool directions. I haven't finished it yet, but you know, it's pretty good. I like it so far.
Well, I don't think any of my exes have dreams about me. So I think this will never happen. But,
most of the dreams are just standing there, like not doing anything. So he starts getting like a complex about that. Like, why am I not doing anything?
he's not making sweet, sweet love to them or anything. It's just he's standing there.
Well, yeah, like even his daughter's just like, oh yeah, you're just there standing there. It's like, is that how you see me? Like, I just stand around and don't do anything? Like, some kind of mope?
Well, all right, you said this is on Max.
Yeah, on the Max.
Actually, that does remind me, you watch the Conan Hot Ones, Jank, by chance?
No, I did start watching his new show on Max, though, but I did not watch the Hot Ones.
I did watch the Hot Ones, and I watched it, like, just by accident. Every once in a while, I'll watch one of them deals, you know? And, like, I didn't hear anything about it. I just happened to watch it. And then, like, the next day or something, I'm hearing all these stories about him talking about it.
You reminded me, because throughout it, the guy talked about he has a new show on Max and kind of goes, yeah, it's on Max because HBO wasn't popular enough. They needed to rename it.
But would you like to tell what Conan was doing during that Hot Ones, Tuffy?
So the premise of the show is this guy has people on to interview them, and they eat progressively spicier wings with sauce on them. And, like, the higher you get, some people tap out at, like, the third or fourth wing because they're very spicy sauces you're putting on. And Conan was just going insane, like,
pouring extra sauce on, just drinking sauce straight out of the bottles. He would, every time he finished a wing, took a few bites, he would put it in the pocket of his jacket. Go, I'm going to save that for later. He had a guy there who he said was his doctor who kept checking on him and clearly was not an actual doctor. And then eventually yeah, he started putting wings in the doctor's pockets.
But yeah, I thought it was like a bit the way he was doing it. Like he was just drinking, but no, it was like, it was legit. And he said he got very,
yeah.
And he said,
that's what,
like,
I love about him. He commits to the bit.
Yeah, that's what he says. He says he'll do anything for a laugh, but it hurt him after. And he said, like, some of the hot sauce got trapped underneath his wedding ring, and it was like eating through his skin. Oh, and like, he's like, why is my hand on fire? You know? So, yeah, he didn't end up.
I recommend watching it. It's very funny.
Yeah,
I need to see this.
Yeah.
I watched the first two and like a half episodes of his new show on Max, and it's really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, he just travels around and stuff.
Yeah, it's called Conan O'Brien Must Go, and basically they do the weekly podcast. Usually the Monday episode they talk to like a celebrity, and then the Thursday episodes they'll talk to like a fan, like some fan from across the world will call in on Skype and they'll talk to him and stuff like that. And so he kind of gathered up, he like got some of those that were more interesting, and like he just decides to drop in and visit those fans, like in their home countries. And so he'd go, like the first one he went to Norway, the second one was Argentina, the third one that I'm watching now is Thailand, and like usually he'll have a couple of people there that he knows, and then also just be bits where he just goes to random places around there and messes with people, and yeah, it's really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's good.
It's kind of what he's great at, just kind of making stuff up on the spot and interacting with weird people.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm doing my pull-ups or whatever, I need something on YouTube to put on, and I think I every once in a while stumble across one of his podcast videos on YouTube, like when he's talking to somebody. Like I saw he interviewed Jack White not too long ago.
Oh yeah,
and I watched those and. But, all right, what else? I watched more Taskmaster, Tuffy. I gave up on season 16, but I started watching some of the Contest of Champions or whatever the hell they call it, the Champions. Yeah. I watched a few of those. I think I watched season the third one of those and the first one. I still need to go back and watch the second one.
Okay.
But, yeah, they're pretty good. But, our girl Morgana Robinson was on one of them, you know?
Yeah.
She did not win. She did not win. She looks good.
Picked the pants.
What about the X-Men this week, Jank?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, this was a change of pace from the last episode, for sure. They kind of did that classic thing where like, oh, we're gonna do some big shit in this episode, in this one episode, and then the next week not mention it at all or not really deal with the aftermath of that, just make you wait longer, which I mean, I guess that's classic TV right there, and just try to string it out longer. This week they kind of finished up the life death thing. They did life death part two, so Storm and Forge kind of dealt with the adversary a little bit. And then they also kind of cross-cut that with Professor X up in space. Him and Lilandra were going to get married and stuff like that. But by the end of it, he kind of realizes he gets like a premonition, or not a premonition because it's already happened, but a vision of what's happened on Earth in Genosha. And he's like, I got to go back to Earth. I don't care if this fucks it up and we're never going to see each other again. I'm going to Earth. My X-Men need me. So.
Yeah, because one of the conditions for him getting married was he had to have all of the memories of his life on Earth erased from his brain.
Why was that a condition of marriage?
He was trying to make it that way. I think just because she wants the throne, and she's like, well, if I can fuck this up for Lilandra, maybe this is a way for me to get power. By the way, they had Vulcan as one of like Deathbird's kind of like henchmen, who is Cyclops' brother. So we'll see if they get into that.
I don't even know who Vulcan is. No idea.
Yeah.
I don't know any of these people were in that part of it.
Yeah.
But my biggest problems with this show is okay. My biggest problems still are mostly the music, the voice acting, which is just bad. Like, the guy they got doing Professor X is nowhere near as good as the old guy. Like, they should have just got, like, AI to do the voices. Fed all the old lines into an AI and had them do it. Because this new guy, I mean, it's the guy, I think, who does the voice of Robot on Invincible, and it basically just sounds just like that. It doesn't sound very Professor X-like at all. It just sounds exactly like Robot. But, and then the other problem is, I feel like the show is moving so fast and not letting things breathe enough and not really, it doesn't really have a soul, kind of, I would say. Like, the whole Storm and Forge, like, relationship, they had, like, one scene together. Like, they went, like, horseback riding one time and talked about, like, oh, I wish I had my powers back. And then all of a sudden, he's like, Ororo, I love you. Like, oh, okay. That really wasn't earned at all. Oh. I mean, as a comic book person, I appreciate it. But, like, for you, Tuffy, did that really land for you? Where you're like, oh, boy, I hope these two get together.
Again, it's one of those where it's like, I watch and it's like, ah, Jank will fill me in on whatever I need to know that I was missing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of like, eh. And then, like, I guess Nightcrawler's on the team now. They put him in the credits for this week's episode, even though he's not in it at all. Like, I think they replaced Gambit's card with Nightcrawler. It's like, oh, is Nightcrawler on the team? I don't know. It's kind of a weird way to show that.
Well, he had been living in Genosha, so I guess he's just a refugee now.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's fine if you, I'm glad to see Nightcrawler on the team, but maybe you save that for when he's actually going to be joining the team instead of giving it away in the theme song.
Yeah, I just don't like the fact that Nightcrawler has to join the team when, you know, he was one of, like, the original new ones, you know.
Well, he was on the team in the prequel, in the original series.
I think he showed up in maybe one or two episodes, but he was never on the team. I think it's just kind of they found him in Germany one time, and yeah, I don't think he ever actually was a part of the team.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was a couple episodes, but never was really on the team.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. I don't like that at all.
I mean, they have to change some things. I would say of the adaptations.
They don't have to change shit. They could keep it exactly the way it is.
I mean, of the things they've done based off comic books, I would say this is among the more faithful adaptations.
Well, that's the indictment of
way more than the other X-Men animated series or the movies or, I don't know, any other animated things, really.
Huh. Right. Hey, I watched Check It Out this week for the first time in a while.
Oh, you're back.
I just put it on one night to fall asleep. It's like, yeah, I'll watch some Check It Out. It was great. I've been back watching Love Boat the last couple of nights. And hey, last night the episode had Tanya Roberts on.
Ooh.
Yeah, she was looking great, too. Holy hell. And get a load of this premise. Who is that guy who did Win, Lose, or Draw? Burt Convy. Remember Burt Convy? He had the curly black hair. He was buddies with Burt Reynolds. And but anyway, he plays a guy who when he gets on the Love Boat, he's talking to Isaac and Gopher. And he shows them this pendant he has, like this little locket. He opens it up, and there's a picture of this foxy lady from, like, the 1900s or late 1800s, I guess. And it's Tanya Roberts. And he's like, oh, this is the woman I hope to meet one day because I was married to her in her past life, you know?
and
I just know I'm going to meet her one
day. Try that, too.
So he closes the locket, and he goes about his business. And then Gopher's just looking around and goes, hey, wait a minute. He just showed us a picture of that foxy lady. She's right over there. And it's Tanya Roberts coming on the line. And so they get together and he's trying to convince her that they were married in a past life. And so they're right. She's swooning. She's falling in love with him, you know, over the story. Cause it's like, she's not believing it, but he keeps wearing her down. She's like, oh my God, I'm actually believing this now that we were married in a past life. So she's like, you know what? Let's go to the cabin, and they're going to make sweet, sweet love.
Oh, shit.
And she's like, my only regret is that this isn't our first time. And she goes in, and she's ready to go. She's sitting on the bed just in a little, she's wearing like a pajama top and no pants. and he's in the bathroom getting ready. Usually the roles are reversed there. The lady's getting ready. No, she's ready to go.
Slip into something more comfortable.
Yes. He's in the bathroom. And while he's in the bathroom getting ready, she goes over to admire the locket again, you know, to see the picture. And she's staring at the picture and she's like, because, you know, he's obviously shown it to her. And she's like, wait a minute. And here she peels off. Her face is just a sticker on the photo. It's like, and she's like, wait a minute. And she storms off.
He like took a picture of her with a Polaroid while they were in line.
That's what he said. He goes, so eventually he admits it. He goes, yeah, I saw you at the travel bureau and I couldn't take your picture and I just rigged everything up because I really wanted to meet you. So it was all just, and she's like, stay away from me, you weirdo. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But then Bert Convy, he's talking to Isaac at the bar, you know, and he's all sad, you know, because he's a creep and a pervert who's just trying to seduce his lady, because he's really in love with Tanya Roberts. Who wouldn't be?
Yeah, and, sure.
And Isaac bumps some lantern on the bar, and Bert Convy looks at the lantern, and it's bringing back some vision from his past. And he's seeing, it cuts back to, like, the old 1800s scene again, and he saves Tanya Roberts from a falling chandelier at some restaurant. And he goes, Isaac, I've just had a vision. Where is she? I got to find her. And she's off. She got off the ship to like go eat dinner at some local restaurant. And so he tracks her down at this restaurant and he's like, Tanya Roberts, look out. And he like grabs her and pulls her away. And the chandelier falls down and crushes the table. So then Tanya Roberts is in love with him for saving her life. And then again,
I would be like, you probably set this up, didn't you? You cut the cords on that chandelier.
It is crazy. But yeah, Tanya Roberts, Love Boat is amazing. Oh, Corey Feldman was on an episode last night too.
Oh, Larry would love it.
Yeah, he's like a 6-year-old Corey Feldman or something. But he was playing a kid.
Trying to get laid too.
he had a kid who had a how did they describe it? Minor brain damage or something. So he was prone to fits of violence.
Like Tommy Jarvis, remember, in Friday the 13th Part 4.
And his mom is this smoking hot blonde lady, and she's falling in love with this high school football coach on the Love Boat. But he's having second thoughts because he thinks this kid's just a brat. He doesn't want to have anything to do with this kid because he's acting like a weirdo all the time. But then he finds out, oh, he just has brain issues. And he's like, all right, I can deal with that, I guess.
That'll never bite me in the ass.
When you see the mom, you can understand. She is so good looking. So I was like, all right, I'm in. And trying to think who else is on these episodes. There was one with Jimmy J.J. Walker was on an episode recently. Oh, there was one the other night. David Cassidy was on. And he didn't look like David Cassidy. He looked like a pudgy middle-aged David Cassidy because he was a pudgy middle-aged David Cassidy. And also the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. On that episode.
Did he run through to all of them?
Oh, and Bob Culp was on that episode as well. He was married to a very foxy Japanese lady, but there was some other lady on the Love Boat who was trying to steal Bob Culp. They were like, they knew each other in the past, and she was trying to steal him away from his little demure Japanese wife. So then at the end, the Japanese wife tries to get all sexy and wild at the end, and oh, it's dynamite television. It's great. So good. So yeah, highly recommend the Love Boat. But that's about it. So I've been doing Love Boat and taking naps to Doc Savage again. That's a full life.
Yep. Diamond never stops.
So Jank, do you have any non Al Yankovic related top 11s?
I do have one.
All right. This will be good. Wait, let me rephrase that. Do you have any non-Al Yankovic-related or what's that other – who's that band? The Cure-related. You know, no Cure-related top 11s either.
Top 11 Cure songs coming soon. So this is more of a bottom 11 because it's my top 11 – gripes with podcasts and reaction channels.
Oh, no.
Obviously, I like listening to a lot of podcasts. Now,
are
we
exempt from this list?
number 11, when the host can't remember the intro for this podcast. No, no. Every week. No, no, that will not be about this show.
All right.
It'll be about other shows or just shows in general.
Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic top 11s.
So, yeah, because we've established in the past you're a big fan of the reaction shows on YouTube. If there's an attractive lady reacting to something, Jank, watch it. It's basically really fun.
So. Sure.
What's your go-to reaction show at the moment? What are you watching?
Ooh, I would say Cinebinge is probably pretty high up there, especially since they're doing Breaking Bad. So I've been,
For fuck's sake.
Yep. Pretty into that.
Someone should watch me watch Breaking Bad.
This is I would fucking watch stupid. This doesn't make any fucking sense. All right, anyway.
I think I figured out, when you do your ranking, Tubby, I think I figured out what's my least favorite of all the Breaking Bad episodes.
Ooh. All of them except season one? Is that
No. Oh, they're all amazing, except for one.
Oh, Box serious. Cutter.
Season 4, episode 1, Box Cutter. Not that good.
Really?
I mean, the part where, you know, Gus cuts the dude's throat with the box cutter, like, that's memorable.
The main part of the episode.
Yeah, but then the rest of it's like, Skyler's got to move Walt's car. Skyler's got a baby crying so that she can get into Walt's apartment, even though that goes nowhere and leads to nothing.
Oh, wait, like, you mean something illogical happened in Breaking Bad? No, I'm shocked at this.
No, it's not illogical, it's just boring. It just doesn't lead to anything. It's not like, oh, when she did that, she opened up some kind of investigation. Like, no, it was pointless.
Well, I'm kind of meaning
killing time.
I kind of meant illogical plot-wise. Like, there's a lot of bullshit in that series. But anyway, all right. So, what your top 11 gripes about podcasts
and reaction channels. Yeah.
Here we go. This will be good.
Some will be pretty specific. Some will be pretty broad.
What if, like, number 10 is just Tuffy? What if that was it? Just not.
He listened back to the Obedient Worker podcast and was not a fan.
Yeah. Well, no one can listen to those because we'd be banned from
all
YouTube.
All that talk about Hunter Biden.
All right.
All right, so number 11, this one's pretty specific, but obviously as a big Rocky fan, I love watching the Rocky reactions. Pretty much if you're going to do Rocky reactions, that's a good way to get me to watch at least those videos on your channel. But then there's always the inevitable part where they get to Rocky 5, and it's just like, oh, no. I'm always afraid that they're just going to give up on this series at that point. Like, well, this was terrible. I'm not going to watch Rocky Balboa or the Creed movies now. So, yeah, that part of any reaction channel where you get to Rocky 5, it's brutal because that movie just really is a turd sandwich.
And so really, your gripe is with Rocky 5.
Yeah, but it's more just because, you know, you have to suffer through that reaction. Otherwise, you know, they might just give up.
How many reaction channels have reacted to Rocky 5 that you've seen?
probably at least 6.
I thought you were
going to
say 2.
So that means you've watched 6 channels react to Rocky 1 through 4?
Yep. Fuck. Accurate. I love those movies.
I just don't get it.
All right, number 10.
All right, number 10. This is some kind of weird, I don't know if it's a memory hole, or some kind of Mandela effect or something, but I've noticed this in a couple of different things. Most notably, Bill Simmons has done this a bunch, but I've heard other reaction channels do this too, where somehow the movie, you know, Pretty Woman gets pronounced as Pretty Women by a lot of people. And it's like, what's going on here? has everyone gone mad? Like, it's Pretty Woman, like the song, Pretty Woman, yeah. Walking down the street. I think, like, it's why just are people saying Pretty Women all of a sudden?
Maybe that's the sequel.
Yeah, I'll be honest. 2 items into this list, and I'm surprised how specific they are that they could have happened more than one time.
Yeah. It's happened a lot, and I notice it every time. I'm like, Just grinds my gears.
I'll be honest. Until Jack mentioned that, I haven't heard anyone mention Pretty Woman since 1987, probably.
Yeah.
That's really all the only time you need to mention it.
All right. Next.
All right. Number nine. One show in particular I feel like is going to take a real beating here, but mostly I'm aiming this one at the show Talkville, which is a Smallville rewatch podcast starring Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling, who are, you know, stars of the show.
Smallville rewatch podcast. Hey, yeah. Hey, Jank, this week on Flea Market Fantasy, we did Zatanna, the Zatanna special. And when I was doing the Zatanna research, I saw there's a foxy girl playing Zatanna on Smallville. Right?
Ooh, there sure was. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was great. Superman's, you know, weak to magic and kryptonite, so yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
She can murder Superman anytime she wants.
With her fishnets.
So could David Copperfield. Actually, when you think about it. But all right. So all right. You
hate so my number nine gripe with this show, they have like little musical stings for certain segments, like interesting things of note, and it's just like, you know, a little 3-second musical sting. But like, whoever's editing the show will not stop, like, the actual, like, pause the show, so they just kind of keep talking over the musical sting. Like, why are you editing like this? You have to, like, put some space for the musical sting if you're going to do it.
Not everyone puts as much time into editing the podcast as we do here at the LCS.
When I missed the show the couple weeks ago, and I went back and listened, like, oh, you did put this song in. And then he's like, oh, maybe I'll put a song in here. And I'm like, no, you didn't do the song.
Yeah.
I got lazy.
I was actually, after I did the first one, I was like, I remembered there was a second spot where I said that. And I said, nope, I'm not going to do it because I'm going to keep everybody on their toes. I don't want them to take it for granted that I'm going to do it every time I say I'm going to do it. Wants to be a little bit of a surprise. You
don't want complacency.
Yeah.
So number eight, this is also going to be aimed at Talkville.
Take that, Talkville.
But rewatch podcast being done by actors who basically don't remember anything about the show. Like, they were on the show. Like, Tom Welling was on the show for 10 years, and literally, I don't think he's remembered anything. Like, even big stunts were like, how'd you do this? Like, don't remember. It's like, why are you bothering? Like, and like, Michael Rosenbaum was on the show. Apparently, he never read any parts of the script he wasn't in, never watched a single episode. So it's like, he literally knows nothing about this show. And he doesn't even seem to like the show very much either. Pretty much shits on it every week.
Well, that seems fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but yeah, it's like, oh, okay. This is an interesting way to go about it.
Can we do audio reactions to our podcast? Like, we'll just play it.
Let's try it.
Kind of like Around Blog Talk, just with this show. Yeah, I guess we could do that.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Yeah, number seven. This is, again, a pretty specific one here, but, Cinevenge, I just talked about these two kids from Canada. I like their channel a lot. They're the ones doing that Breaking Bad thing right now. But they're doing something where, like, the TV reactions are on Patreon only, and they'll do, like, 2 to 3 episodes.
No.
Yeah.
You're paying Patreon to watch people watch
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly all that spending on WWE Champions doesn't look so bad, you know?
But here's the thing they do is, like, after they finish a season, they're like, oh, we're going to do another TV show, and like a season of a different TV show in between. It's like, what? You can't do that. You got to just keep going with the Breaking Bad. Like, I don't want to be paying for.
But isn't that what you and Larry used to call a palate cleanser? You do a palate cleanser?
Well, I mean, that was like a 1 week, like one time thing. Like, this is like several weeks. Like, they were doing like Ted Lasso between Breaking Bad seasons. Like, I don't give a fuck about Ted Lasso. Right. I'm not paying for this. So it ends up being weird. You gotta like pay for part of a month and then try to get out and try to plan your month.
I've never seen Ted Lasso, but Breaking Bad into Ted Lasso sounds like quite the 1-2 punch to the old jeans for me. I don't know.
Oh. I mean, the Breaking Bad part's great.
That's pretty bad. So, all right.
All right, number six. I don't know. This is, again, a minor quibble, I guess. But for me, it kind of bugs me. Obviously, I listen to a lot of film shows, you know, things they talk about, movies and stuff like that. And I got a problem with the term genre films. throw this around to basically sum up, you know, horror movies, sci-fi movies, superhero movies. They refer to them as, like, genre films. But
they are a genre film, yeah. That's what they are.
I don't mind lumping those together, but everything is a fucking genre. Like, drama is a genre. Like, it's like saying food group foods, but you're only talking about fruits and vegetables. There's other food groups.
I hear what you're saying. All right, yeah. Okay, this is a big deal in the writing world as well. In our writing program, they always people look down at genre fiction, but all fiction pretty much genre. But it just means like the you know, like a mystery genre. You got certain rules you got to follow to write a mystery novel. Yeah. So,
but yeah. It's not saying this the superhero genre. It's lumping these certain things together. Oh, these are genre films because they're, you know, lumped together because they're not part of normal society. Essentially, they're like this. Yeah, other, I don't mind saying they're like a niche kind of thing, but you gotta have a better term for it.
Believe me, I've heard people cry about this many times, and about how people look down at genre fiction. And
like monkeys.
Exactly.
They don't like
this is just a monkey genre book. It's not literature.
Yep.
All right.
Next. All right, number five, we're getting a little more general here. In reaction channels, obviously there's going to be times where you're really interested in the movie a channel's going to watch, and sometimes maybe you're not. You're like, I don't give a fuck about that movie. That's just bound to happen. But who are these people that are seriously, like, hardcore pushing for the most bullshit movies that, like, no one's ever heard of or gives a fuck about? Like, who are people, like, seriously, like, you got to watch Lady Hawk. And they wouldn't say it just once. They'll say it like multiple times. Like, well, who the fuck is about Lady Hawk?
It's kind of ironic coming from a man who had just watched Force 5. And then, keep in mind on Flea Market Fantasy, we just did Zatanna and Dead Man and all these other things.
Yeah, but nobody's asking us to do this.
That's true. But,
yeah.
No, the reason they're asking
react
us
to
not
things
to.
That are interesting.
We got to mix it up, you know, get in some terrible stuff too.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah. I mean, just like boring stuff like Seabiscuit. Like, who cares that much about Seabiscuit? Like, it's just the paint by numbers fucking bullshit. What kind of reaction can you possibly expect from that?
Seabiscuit. All right. Next.
All right. Number four. So number four is, obviously you gotta put up with commercials in, you know, podcasts a lot. That's fine. I get it. Make your money. Pay your bills.
Not on the show. You don't have to.
No. Sadly, no one will advertise on this show. So I don't mind that. Even when they get excessive, it's like, all right, I'll just skip through these, but you gotta place them in the right spots. Like, I hate when it's like doing an interview and like they'll ask a question and it's just, oh, here's a commercial randomly, or like they'll be in the middle of a question and they'll cut to a commercial. Yeah. Like, oh boy, this is terrible. This is really interfering with the show now.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, that's not good.
Never have that problem here.
Uninterrupted bullshit. That's what you get on this show.
People are begging for a commercial when they listen to this show.
Please tell me about Blue Chew, please.
Number three.
Basically, the fact that David Spade and Dana Carvey exist at this point.
I used to listen to that SNL podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what it was billed as: a podcast about the background stories of Saturday Night Live. Like, we're going to get you, pull the curtain back.
Idea.
We're going to have a guest on, and we're going to talk about, like, the episode that they hosted, how the sketches were written, that kind of stuff. Like, but that's not what it is at all. They just get people loosely related to SNL to come on the show, and they just shoot shit for, like, 45 minutes, and that's it. Like, it just –
even when they do get people that were literally on the show, they'll probably spend 5 minutes talking about SNL. The rest, Dana Carvey mostly talking about the same thing, stories every time.
And doing his fucking stupid impressions. Yeah, we get it. You do impressions. Yeah, like when that show first started, I listened to like a lot of the earlier ones, and they were kind of good. But then you just could see it like just drifting further and further away from what it's supposed to be. And I was like, all right, I'm out.
So. And it's almost like the old Chris Farley show on SNL, where it's just like, Dana Carvey would ramble. Like, oh, well, you did this. That was really cool. Why don't you speak to that for a little bit? Like, that's not even a question. What are you doing? Like, ask a question.
Cause like Saturday Night Live stories are great about how the show comes together and the writing process and the memories. Like Howard Stern does a lot of good interviews with SNL people about the show and stuff. And, Conan does as well. Like I've seen people on Conan and he talks about it. So that stuff's always great. But yeah, their podcast just completely missed the mark with what they're supposed to be doing. So yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. It's pretty tough. Like I hate it. I'll see like a guest. I'm like, oh, that would probably be good. And even if I try to listen to it, I make it maybe 10 minutes now, and I'm just like, no.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it in probably well over a year, so it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Yeah, that's it.
Number two.
Okay, this is the big rewatch thing. people are just way too into pets these days. For fuck's sake. Like, oh my god, people are so concerned about the dog in every movie. Oh my god, if anything happens to that dog, I'll never watch this again. Like, Christ's sake, like, and they'll like do like little baby talk to the dog on the screen. It's like, what are you doing? It's not, your dog can't hear you. This is like clapping at the movie theater. They can't fucking hear you. What are you doing?
People are way into pets.
Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people, if there was like a fictional dog and a real life person, they would let the real life person die before that real fictional dog would die on screen.
And? What's the problem with them? Yeah. You never want to watch a movie with me and there's a monkey on screen, because I tell you what, I go nuts.
See that monkey?
He delights you. Michael, put your pants back on.
All right, number one.
Number one. This one's pretty pervasive in any podcast that it pops up in. But anytime they involve the audience whatsoever, or also audience questions, or anything like that, it's pretty much always death. Like, I remember when I was listening to Office Ladies back in the day, there would always be just, like, the same questions. It'd always be from someone named Hannah, and, like, the last like, Hannah C, or Hannah B. It was so like, all right, great. And it would also always be like, oh, was it really fun when you did that scene? Like, yeah, it was fun.
That was great.
That's great question. Or like, oh, I like this line. Was that in the script or was it improv? Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. If you're taking Reader Mail, you have to go through and really weed out the dummies. And you got to get really good questions. Otherwise, don't bother doing it. Yeah.
And then, like, again, I'm throwing Talkville under the bus again, but they take a lot of, like, patron questions and stuff
fuck
like that.
Fuck you, Talkville.
And usually their questions, like, somebody does go through and screen these things ahead of time, but they'll talk about they'll mention whatever the question was already in the episode, so it's already redundant, and then you'll have, like three other people ask pretty much the same question. It's like, well, this is fucking wasting everyone's time.
Yeah. That's just bad production. You'll never see that on this year's show, because we have.
No.
Well, first of all, no one ever sends us any questions. And,
it's true.
Yeah. All right, we have to number one here.
Yep, that was number one.
Oh, I missed it. I blacked out. What was number two?
Number two was the people that are way too into pets.
Oh, okay. All right. I glossed over that.
Yeah.
All right, so there is Jank's top 11 gripes about reaction shows and podcasts. Tuffy, do you have any gripes about reaction shows or podcasts?
Not about reaction shows, because I've never watched one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've never watched one either.
Podcasts, I do have one gripe. This is more of a post-COVID thing of, like, during COVID, I feel like some podcasts that used to be once a week got used to, like, oh, we'll just pull up a Zoom and we can just record, like, five fucking episodes a week and just bury you in podcast episodes.
Oof. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only real podcast, right? Because you can just not listen to them if you don't like them.
Are you listening to any podcasts at the moment, Tuffy?
A shitload of them.
Oh.
Yeah, because that, like, there's a one basketball podcast I listen to called No Dunks. It's very good.
What?
And then they also do a.
When do you like? Wait, you like basketball? When did this happen?
Yeah. Well, who doesn't like? I grew up in Chicago in the 90s. Of course, I like basketball.
I don't know if I remember ever hearing you talk about basketball, except when you're excited about your college team there and NCAAs.
Yeah,
but all right.
Yeah, I don't watch a ton of basketball, but I listen to a podcast. This is one of those where I do listen to a podcast without really watching a lot of basketball.
Yeah, it's like a basketball reaction video.
Yeah, but then they also have a spinoff podcast called No Buffs. That's their Survivor recap podcast.
Survivor recap. Did you let that monster out yet? Or did they release the monster?
Still no monster. Yeah, still listen to that Judge John Hodgman that Larry never thought was funny.
I remember that.
A couple other shows from that, because they're part of the Maximum Fun Podcast Network.
Oh, that's stupid.
Which is a podcast cooperative.
That's stupid.
We're part of the Minimum Fun. Like,
Yeah, Judge John Hodgman, my brother and me.
Oh, my cousin
the
loves
Beef
that.
The Beef and Dairy Network podcast.
No idea.
That's a good one. The comedy podcast where the host is the fictional host of a podcast for the Beef and Dairy Network, the podcast for the Beef and Dairy Network magazine. It's very funny. I listen to the Dale Jr. podcast about NASCAR.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one called We Got the Chocolates. That's just some Australian guys talking.
Okay.
about chocolates? Like that guy at the pool hall earlier. Thank God for Black and Decker.
No, I mean, they talk about Australian sports, which is very niche. You know, I get to hear about Australian rules football and cricket every now and then. They play games on their podcast sometimes that are pretty entertaining and, you know, just do jokes and stuff.
All right.
One of the guys got a Prince Albert piercing because of that podcast because they I forget what they were talking about, but it came up and they said, "What are the odds that you would ever get that yourself?" And then they said, "Would you play the odds game?" Which is a thing I'd never heard of, but you say, you know, the odds are 1 in 100, and then on the count of three, you both say a number, and if it's the same number, then you do the thing. So they said, he said, "What are the odds you would ever get that yourself?" And he said, "I don't know, 1 in 50." I go, all right, count it in, 3, 2, 1, and they said the same number, and then he followed through and got the Prince Albert piercing.
Wow. That's poor luck.
Yeah.
Play that with Mike Bell next week.
Yeah.
The odds of me doing anything are 1 in 1,000,000.
That's true.
And then
Men in Blazers, the soccer podcast, that's the one that just, so many podcasts now about soccer. So they used to be they would do a podcast once a week for about an hour, and now it's like they do one podcast for the English Soccer League, one podcast for the Champions League, one podcast for the American League, one podcast for women's soccer. And it's like, this is too many podcasts. It used to be one podcast a week.
Too many podcasts.
It's like the news, like Norm MacDonald would say. It used to just be a half an hour.
Yeah.
Now it's 24 hours. Turns out they used to have about that.
I don't really listen to any podcasts. I'm trying to think.
I have been listening to My Dad Wrote a Porno. I think I mentioned that on here.
Yeah,
before,
you did tell us about that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I watched I watched the Pat McAfee show on the YouTubes, and I watched like a lot of MMA hour stuff, MMA fighting, like YouTube shows. I guess technically they're in podcast form too, but I always watch them on YouTube. And the Jeff Merrick, Elliot Friedman, NHL podcast on YouTube, but I don't watch, like, not religiously, but there's a big hot
Daniel Tosh has a podcast now. I've been watching that on YouTube.
Daniel Tosh. Yeah, I don't listen to too much these days. I guess mostly to YouTube.
Hold Taco when you're on YouTube, Mike Dell. That's a good one.
All right. I doubt I will.
He interviews people, but not famous
people. He only listens to things from like the 40s.
Yeah. hey, Tuffy, I hear tell there's like a million Taskmaster podcasts.
I could see that, yeah, but I would not want to listen to any of them.
Yeah. I did tune into, it wasn't necessarily a Taskmaster specific podcast, but it was like that one tall guy with black hair and glasses. I think he may have been on like season 4 or 5.
Richard Osman?
Yes, that's exactly
who it was. Wow, you knew him right away.
He does a podcast with some lady, and they, like Jank says, they take questions from listeners or whatever. And once somebody asked, did they really get to keep the prizes on Taskmaster? And he said, no, they don't keep the prizes. So,
oh. Yeah.
Just a bit.
Well, I feel like the first couple seasons of that, the prizes were a lot more spectacular, where it would be a real question.
Yeah.
And then the later seasons, it's just whatever shit they can think to make a joke with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem. Really give it much.
Like those first couple seasons, it was the most valuable thing, and one guy brought in a blank check and said, you can write whatever number you want up to £20,000 or whatever it was.
Like a guy did his wedding ring.
Yeah.
A car, I believe, was also involved. Like an old beat-up car.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they don't keep the prizes. Don't keep the prizes. But, all right.
So, this.
Trying to think. I was listening to more old radio shows, but I don't know. That could have been 3 months ago. All the days blend together. I have no idea. Well, I'm listening to the old Doc Savage had a radio show too for like so I've been listening to those, not the novels, but the radio shows.
Ooh.
There's only about 16 of them, I think, available. But
people, I forgot the
Anna Brown's.
I also watched. I did watch the most recent season of Resident Alien last weekend.
Resident Alien. My mother used to watch that. She would tell me about that. It had that guy from Firefly on it, right?
Yeah, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
So it's about an alien who's living on Earth as a. Is he a doctor or?
He killed a doctor and assumed his identity.
Yes, and even though he's like very awkward and he's kind of like obviously an alien, right? Like he acts and everything. Like he's just But no one knows he's an alien.
Except for one kid who there's a handful of humans have some sort of genetic condition where they can see through the disguise and know they're an alien.
Yeah, I've never watched it, so.
It's very good. Because, like, the first season is he's come to Earth because he's supposed to blow up Earth, but then he decides he likes Earth, so he doesn't blow it up or can't figure out how to blow it up because his ship crashed, or I forget what it was.
Doesn't he fall in love with a lady? That's usually what happens.
No.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't. He, you know, comes to respect that, like, he has a friend that he likes as a friend, but isn't, like, doesn't have a romantic relationship.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Not yet.
Well, he's so then in season 2, I forget what the premise of season 2 was, but he's trying to stop an alien hunter from catching him and other aliens from maybe blowing up the Earth. I think his aliens, he's trying to stop them from blowing up the Earth since he failed to blow it up maybe and does that. And then season 3 now, his species of aliens have conceded the Earth to the gray aliens who are trying to take over the Earth. So he's fighting against the grays, and that's very funny.
Yeah, the grays.
He does that premise off from the old Captain Marvel, the old Mar-Vell.
Captain Marvel.
Sent here by the Kree and just kind of fell in love with the Earth. A
blue avian alien comes to serve him papers to evict him from the Earth because the Greys have it now. And he falls in love with her then. But I forget the reason she had to. She got blackmailed into leaving the Earth because it was the one lady from the Righteous Gemstones, if you watch that, she played the human form of the blue avian alien.
Did not watch that.
That was funny. But yeah, Resident Alien's a good show. On
Sci-Fi?
Peacock, I think. Yeah, Sci-Fi, and probably streaming on Peacock then.
All right. So that's something.
Yeah.
What else? Other wrestling news, Tuffy, they're going to have the draft the end of this month, right? 26th and 27th, I think, something like that.
That sounds right.
So that'll be something.
Tama Tonga or whatever his face is in the WWE now.
Yeah, Tama Tonga.
With the bloodline.
Haku-san.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been wrestling over in Japan for a long time. One of the original Bullet Club members, I believe. And now he's... yeah, because it seems like I had SmackDown on before the show, Tuffy. It seems like Solo is the new Tribal Chief. He's trying to be the Tribal Chief.
That was kind of what I thought was going to happen.
Because he showed up tonight on SmackDown. He's wearing like a he's dressed all nice and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it seems like he's taking over because Roman failed.
Yeah, because last week they took out Jimmy Uso and Paul Heyman knew nothing about it, and Solo just said orders the Tribal Chief. So I guess he's giving the orders now.
And they got another guy ready to come in named Jacob Fatu. Who is, I forget all the relations, you know, but he's related to.
Yeah.
I think he's the Usos' cousin, maybe, or something. But he's, really good. And he's like a big guy who can do all kind of crazy shit. So I'm guessing he'll be the next member to join at some point here soon.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have like Roman's bloodline versus Solo's bloodline then, probably. That could be something.
Jacob Fatu is Rikishi's nephew. So yeah, he would be cousins with the Usos and Solo.
Yeah, because Usos and Solo are Rikishi's kids. So I think Jacob, the thing was, he was always considered kind of like a wild guy, and I think he may have done a stint in prison or something, if I'm not remembering properly. No. So even though he was really good, he was like... just independent wrestling for all these years. And I guess they finally said, all right, give you a shot. So,
yeah, he was arrested for robbery as an 18-year-old. He credits seeing his cousin, the Usos, on a jail TV as his inspiration for becoming a wrestler.
Oh, there you go. It's a feel-good story. Oh, and Julia, that I love from a Japanese lady, she's coming over. She's going to be joining NXT in July, I believe, is the word. So,
ooh.
Very excited about that. She's half Italian, half Japanese, apparently. And that's not a combination you hear a lot of, but I tell you what, it works.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a combination. So she should be here in July. And any other big wrestling news, Tuffy?
No, AJ, just that Liv took out Rhea, unfortunately.
AJ Styles beat LA Knight tonight, so he's going to face Cody. The title. Hey, they're in Pittsburgh tonight as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Surprised we're doing the show, Mike Dell's not
there. I don't know if Oscar's going to be. Yeah, I don't know if she's there or not. She has to be there. SmackDown, right?
Yeah. All of Damage Control could get a restraining order against Mike Dell tonight.
What else is there to talk about? Anything? This is the top quality production we do for the show beforehand.
Jank, get that Weird Alice ready to go.
Yep. I mean, Mike Dell, you might not be totally against this because it's going to be the top or bottom 11 Weird Al parody songs.
Oh, wow. Bottom 11. Well, Jack, it's up to you. If you want to do it, feel free. Just keep in mind what I told you yesterday when we were Market Fantasy. Just know just know what you will be unleashing on the world if you do this list.
What?
Jack, what is the risk here?
He threatened that if I did this list, then he would do his top 11 Check It Out episode.
So... it's up to you.
Let's just talk about OJ being dead for 20 minutes and call it a show.
OJ
died. Crazy. Hey, remember Dick Belsky wrote a book about OJ Simpson? Remember that?
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah, we should get Dick Belsky back on.
Yeah, wasn't April the month that all of his books were coming out? Yeah.
Yeah, he released three books at once. Yeah. But we're booked next week, though, with the Ed and, you know, hearing about Fat Benatar. Belly Joel, maybe the week after, get him in. So I don't know. It's up to you, Jack.
We'll take our chance.
I know, I feel like the Sword of Damocles is hanging over my head, but all right.
I'll say this. We won't do the Check It Out episodes tonight. We'll do them at some
point. Yeah, you're not prepared.
No, I'm prepared. I'm always prepared. But I just don't want to stretch the show too long.
Just know this, Mike Bell. You do that top 11 Check It Out, and that top 67 or whatever Breaking Bad will be on today.
That'll be the first episode I miss in many years. That happens.
You all know when it's coming. It's going to be a surprise.
Oh, good Lord.
All right. Well, yeah, let's do it then.
All right.
Top 11.
So the top 11 worst Weird Al parody songs, I guess.
Okay.
Yes, we'll call it that.
How to decipher the worst.
Oh, get out of here. There's so many good ones, but, you know, there's always got to be some running up the rear.
I just always think of when I've told this story before on the show, every time Weird Al comes up, that Kurt Cobain was on Saturday Night Live, and Victoria Jackson was good buddies with Weird Al. And Weird Al wanted to do a Teen Spirit parody. So he called Victoria Jackson, and he got her to ask Kurt if it would be okay if he did a parody of Smells Like Teen Spirit. And Kurt's only question was, is it about food? Because that seems sort of like a lot of his bad parodies are about food. I don't know, but we'll see.
No, I mean, the good charities are about food.
The first couple big ones were food related.
Yeah,
he has deep catalogs. All
right, so let's see how many of these
branched out to other things
involve food.
Actually, not a whole lot. So clearly, the food ones are, you know, top notch.
All right, number 11.
Okay, number 11. This one not too bad, but it had to, you know. That's why it's number 11. It's a, like, the least offender of these, I would say. From Weird Al's first album, Weird Al Yankovic, in 1983, Stop Dragging My Car Around by, it's a parody of Stop Dragging My Heart Around by Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Oh, here's what I'll do is we'll play a clip of it right now.
Yeah.
we're not playing a clip of it.
Yeah, this song, he's kind of doing like a wild and crazy guy's SNL type voice, and he just like plays this guy who his car keeps getting repossessed because he's not making the payments. I don't know. It's not great. It's just kind of a filler. This album only had like 5 parodies, and so many of them are all timers. Like, you got Ricky on here, and I Love Rocky Road, and My Bologna.
All timers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So of those all timers, 2 of them are food related.
Yeah.
True. See, those are on this list. So yeah, this one just was kind of, it's not great.
Yeah, I believe you. All right, number 10.
All right, number 10. I Want a New Duck from Dare to Be Stupid in 1985, a parody of I Want a New Drug by Huey Lewis in the News.
What? A new little, duck?
Yeah.
What?
I Want a New Duck. Yeah, it's just a lot of, like, duck puns for the most part.
Hey, you know what is funny? You know what is funny about ducks, though, Tuffy, is that on Taskmaster, whenever they use ducks, they use little rubber ducks. That's always a good time. But in terms of, do you want a new duck? No, I do not want a new duck.
Yeah, James, lay off the reaction shows that are bugging so much. Watch some Taskmaster this week.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe I'll finally finish that first episode.
Again, the first episode, I didn't like it either at first because it just seemed like, again, a show you enjoyed. Or that, what was that show? You like that improv show you liked? And I said, It just seemed at first, it just seemed like comedians trying to do bits. And I'm like, but yeah, it gets beyond that. It gets way beyond that. So.
Okay. Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, even this song, probably a weird choice to do, and a weirder choice to just make it about ducks.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick Parker Jr. made this song better by turning it into Ghostbusters, whereas this one just kind of, you know, the original's not that good.
Why wouldn't it be successful when it's about ducks? That's usually,
There's a whole part where it's just quacking.
Oh man, it's a real mishap that one didn't land. All right.
I know. How did that end up on this list? Who would have thought?
Number 9.
Number 9 from the UHF soundtrack in
1989. I'm out.
She drives like crazy. A parody, a very lazy parody of She Drives Me Crazy by the Fine Young Cannibals. just about a lady who's a bad driver. I mean, that song, even the original, is pretty kind of annoying.
Like, I fucking hate the Fine Young Cannibals. That song, I hated it so much when it came out.
It's not great. And then this is just kind of lazy. Like, I'm sure, like, everyone pretty much sang this without even hearing this version. They're like, yeah, they could have figured that one out.
Why didn't he put a duck in there?
not his best efforts. So, I mean, he does a good enough job impersonating that guy's weird, like, falsetto voice, but other than that, like, I don't know. Not very good. All right, so number 8, Larry's girl, Taylor Swift, here from the Alcocalypse album in 2011.
I thought there was actually a song called Larry's Girl.
Like, that'd be great. Yeah.
It was about Larry.
Larry's ferret.
All right.
So he did a Taylor Swift
parody. Taylor Swift.
Yeah, he did a parody of You Belong With Me called TMZ. It's just about, like, like celebrities being on TMZ and doing embarrassing things. But none of it's that funny. Like, none of it really lands. And it's just kind of like, well, this isn't relatable or funny. I don't know. Who really cares about this?
Did I hear that Taylor Swift released a new album? Is that right?
Yeah.
So does this mean Larry's got to get more printing paper?
Probably. Yep. He's running through reams as we speak.
All right.
That album in general was not good. Like, the originals are terrible. Even most of the parodies are pretty awful. But yeah, this one really not great.
All right. 7? Is that where we're at?
Number 7. Yeah, this was from his most recent album, Mandatory Fun, in 2014. The song Foil, which was a parody of Royal by Lorde.
Oh, I remember that song. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very short. And then, like, each verse, there's like two verses and then the chorus, and like each one's about like different things. Like, the first one's just about putting your food in aluminum foil. And then, like, the second verse kind of goes more of like a conspiracy route, got like the tinfoil hat type thing.
All right, I like that.
That one's a little better. Yeah. The first one's just random and weird and not in a funny way. It's just kind of like, like, the rhymes are weird and just like, I don't know. This is not clicking for me. It's only about 2 minutes long, so it's kind of a nothing song that really didn't need to exist.
All right.
Okay, number 6. Obviously, you know, one of the things Weird Al likes to do from time to time is take, like, an older song, not like a current song, but make it about, like, a more current movie type thing. Like, with Yoda, you know, he took Lola from The Kinks, or, you know, The Saga Begins, which was, you know, a parody of American Pie, but it was about Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. Jurassic Park was a parody of MacArthur Park, that type of thing. So in 2003, on the Poodlehead album, he decided to try that again and make a song about Spider-Man to the tune of Piano Man by Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
Yeah. And call it Ode to a Superhero. And it's not good.
You love Spider-Man.
I know.
You love Weird Al. This seems like the perfect combination.
It's like they got their peanut butter in my chocolate. I hate it. none of the jokes work, and just the chorus seems lazy. Just like, sling us a web, you're the Spider-Man. It's like, oh boy.
Sling us the web, you're the Spider-Man.
We're all in the mood for a hero now. It's like, this isn't good.
Yeah,
there's the jokes.
That line's dumb. I don't mind this sling me a web, Spider-Man. It's not bad.
Yeah, like, it kind of recaps this, like, the movie, and I don't know, I didn't like the movie, so maybe that's bleeding into this, but, I mean, I didn't like The Phantom Menace either, but that song's great, because it's got jokes.
Alright.
There's like a line about Mary Jane wouldn't notice him even if his hair was on fire, like rhymes with Shire. It's like, oh, I don't know. This is a stretch. Like, this is not working on any level.
That needs a rewrite.
Yeah. Yeah. Number five. This is an example of, you know, I can see why Weird Al would do a parody of this band, but I think he probably missed the window and picked the wrong song. Because in 1995 or 96, on his Bad Hair Day album, he finally decided to do a parody of U2. And their big song from the Batman Forever soundtrack, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me. Which I guess was a big thing in 1995. I mean, I listened to the radio then. It, you know, they did play it on the radio a lot. That was a hit, but boy, nobody talks about that song anymore or gives a fuck about it. If anything, the Batman Forever soundtrack, I think, is more remembered for Kiss from a Rose by Seal, but nobody really cares about that U2 song. And it's not a very good song. And Weird Al's version was called Cavity Search. And it's basically about going to the dentist. So it's just like numb me, drill me, floss me, bill me. It's like, okay.
That is fucking dumb.
Yeah, it really is.
You love this guy, huh?
Hey, I mean, they're not all winners, but a lot of them are.
He's batting like 230 out of the gate.
Yeah, so... Yeah, maybe not the Weird Al or the U2 song you should have been doing there. Not one that really stands the test of time. Again, number four is going to be another song where it's like, ooh, probably I don't think you picked the right song there, buddy. It's a parody. Because who here is a big fan of Mick Jagger's song Ruthless People from, I don't even think you can find it on Spotify. Like, they're just like, nobody cares about this. I tried looking for it just to hear the original, and they're like, nope, not out here. So Weird Al did a version on his poodle hat, or not poodle hat. This was a polka party. Polka party called Toothless People.
God damn.
Again, with the dental theme here.
Yeah.
Just more puns about, you know, people not brushing their teeth enough and losing their teeth. Not the best. Again, it's kind of obvious, and it's also just not a good song, and I don't know why he would have picked this. He did like a Rolling Stones polka at one point, which was better, but I mean, again, if you're going to do something Mick Jagger related, this was not the one to do. Nobody cares about that song. All right, number three. We talked about Apocalypse there with the Taylor Swift song. The main, the single release from this album, the first song on the album, was even worse. Like, it's just awful. It's called Perform This Way. It's a parody of Born This Way by Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I hate this so much.
Puppy knows it. Puppy's like, yeah, that stinks.
Yeah, it's brutal. Like, it's not funny. It's basically just him singing about, you know, how Lady Gaga dresses weird, but it's just kind of one note, and it's not very funny. Like, there's this group who does, like, YouTube video parodies of a lot of songs, like a lot of Lady Gaga and, you know, Kesha and stuff like that. And they did a version of this song, and it was so much better. And it's like, oh, that's not what you want, Weird Al. You're getting laughed by some people on YouTube. Like, they're making way better parodies of this than you are, so that's upsetting. That's not good. Number two. Oh, okay. I mean, this is an example of I hate the original artist, I hate the original song, so any parody of it is probably not going to go down great. This was from, again, the most recent album, Mandatory Fun, Inactive, a parody of Radioactive by Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, can't help you there. Yeah. I don't know what that song is.
It's barely a song. Like, it has no pulse. So I guess the Inactive thing is kind of on point, and it's, you know, I guess it's fitting because it doesn't feel like it moves. It doesn't feel like an actual song. But, again, it's just a terrible song, and he's kind of trying to do that, like, weird, far-away-sounding vocals that, like, they do in the original, which is not good for a parody, like when you can't really make out what the fuck he's saying. So, I don't know. That's not really what you want in a comedy song.
So number one, the worst Weird Al parody, according to Jake.
Yeah. Tuffy, any guesses?
I have no idea because half of them I probably don't even know what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Food. I want to say it's food related.
Well, maybe roundabout way. So from the 2003 album Poodle Hat, there was a song called Trash Day, which is a parody of Hot in Here by Nelly. It's basically just about like someone doesn't want to take out the trash and his wife's like nagging him. And it's like, there's something rotten here. You better hold your nose.
Holy
and
then there's like this fuck
terrible voice, like of like this of wife, like, disgusting slop. You better just don't you out. I'm like, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Mike, put that in as the theme song for this week's episode.
How does he get paid to do this shit? I don't
understand. Hey, I mean, this again, we're looking at the bottom here. There's quite the top, but
it's quite the top. But the same guy's responsible for both, though. You know, like is that
you got to fill out a whole album, I guess.
Hey, if you want the high highs, Mike Dell, you're going to have some low lows to go with it.
At what point did he sit down and think, yeah, this is a good idea?
Yeah. I mean, the voice itself of the wife is just so weird and terrible, and I hate it. It's all just awful. I can't even like, listen to that song without like getting secondhand embarrassment. Like, I'm just like, I can't do this. It's like what some people feel when they watch like Scott's Tots on The Office. It's just like, oh.
Or listen to this podcast. Yeah. So, all right. Hey, Tuffy, any Weird Al parodies you do not particularly like?
I don't remember them if I didn't like them. I probably just skipped them on that track on the CD.
Yeah, probably. How many CDs or albums does he have there, Jake?
Ooh, I want to say 14.
14.
I think, yeah. Definitely slowed down a lot. I think the last one was 2014, and, like, there hasn't been really anything since.
So, like even if there's 10 songs on an album, that's 140 of these bullshit songs. So, I guess if there's only 11 really terrible ones, that's not bad then. But,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, usually each album's about half parodies, half original songs. And usually, like, a polka thrown in there.
God bless the polka. All right. So there it is. Jank with not one, but two top 11s this week. Good job, Jank. That's banner.
Yeah, really saving the day.
Yeah. Good job, buddy.
Like, Weird Al coming up with songs to fill out an album. We had to pad out this show.
Top 11, check it out episode. This is number 11.
Don Adams grows a mustache.
I'll save it for a later date, but you'll never know when, and you'll never know where.
Oh, no.
Like that one. Have that top belt, 68 right? Breaking Bad ready to go, Mike Dell, and we're going to go episode for episode for about 11 of them. Then we're just going to be stuck.
We'll see. All right, well, I guess we're done here. Nothing else to do. Thanks to Jank for the two top 11s. And thanks to Tuffy.
Yeah, and thanks to that kid for knocking on my cousin's door.
Damn dogs. And hopefully Belly Joel was a good concert for the end. We'll hear about it next week. And we're watching Gremlins 2.
Yeah, Gremlins 2.
So that'll be something. And over at Flea Market Fantasy, we got Zatanna. Oh, no, we recorded Zatanna last night. Up there right now is Dead Man. And yeah, so we got another subscriber today, Jank. 203.
Ooh. 203 Trying up. Ooh.
Getting up there. So, all right. Until next week, pass the munchie, Governor Gabby.
Thank you very much.